You know, Rosh Hashanah, we say in the davening, is Hayom Haras Olam, right? The day of the creation of the world. But the truth is that we know Hashem created the world in 6 days, right? Rest on the seventh. Rosh Hashanah is not the first day of creation, right? That we know. The first day of creation is Chaf Hei El, the 25th of El. What's Aleph Tishrei? What's Rosh Hashanah? So the sixth day of creation is when Hashem created Adam and Chava. So now, therefore, in a certain sense, the entire Avodah of Rosh Hashanah is really revolving around what happened on that sixth day. What happened on that sixth day? So we know, like, Adam and Chava were created, and everything fell apart. You know, ever since, you know, the test that Adam and Chava had of eating from the Eitz HaDaas, Tavra, not eating from it, they failed, they listened to the snake, everything went haywire. And the truth is, according to the Rizal writes this, he says there are certain time periods, there are certain parts of the calendar that were more affected by that sin of Adam and Chava more than others. And so the Rizal says that the truth is, the month of Tishrei, from Rosh Hashanah all the way to the end of Sukkot, this entire tekufa of like Yom Tovim that we have, Yom Neroyim and Sukkot and so on, is a time that was especially affected by that sin of Adam and Chava. Every day was. We're all mortal and every day. Huh?
All year we have to.
The whole year, yeah, exactly. But the tekufa of Zmanim, the tekufa of Yom Tovim, were very much affected. And therefore, the Rizal writes that everything we do during this time, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, it's all about rectifying that mistake, of fixing that sin. The shofar, you name it. It's all about sort of reliving that sixth day in a way that's rectified. And what's interesting is, the Rizal points out that the shofar itself, by the way, it's going to sound a little bit funny, but the Rizal says that what's in the shofar? So we know that the Pasuk says in Parshas Bereishis that when Hashem created Adam, it was just Adam, right? And Hashem saw that it's not good for him to be by himself, so he wanted to make Chava. So how do you make Chava? So he put Adam to sleep, right? Took a rib from Adam and built Chava from that. Adam wakes up, and now they can be face to face. The Rizal said that phenomenon that reoccurs every Rosh Hashanah, but the way we do it on Rosh Hashanah is that our Chava, so to speak, is built. Doesn't mean your spouse, but within yourself, your Chava, the part of you that's a Chava, is built. But instead of Adam being asleep while this happens, Adam is kept awake with the sound of the shofar. And that's the secret of the shofar, that's the secret of what we begin on Rosh Hashanah, is to begin to rectify that whole day of Friday. And the problem started with Chava being built while Adam was asleep. And that led to all the problems. If we could rectify that, building Chava while Adam is awake with the sound of the shofar, things will be fixed. Alright, so what does this all mean? Alright, so very simple. I'm going to keep it very simple. What was the sin of the Eitz HaDaas Tovra? Like, if you had to, like, pinpoint it to its core. When the Nachash says to Adam, or the Nachash says to Chava, really, that, you know why, he says, the Nachash says Lashon Hara about God, right? The Nachash says to Chava, you know why God doesn't want you to eat from this tree? Because the day that you eat it, you're going to be v'yisem kelokim, you'll be like him, yoyi tovra, no good and evil, and he doesn't want to have any equals like that. In other words, the core sin, the core problem was Chava and Adam seeing themselves in relation to God as if God doesn't trust them. That's really what it boils down to. Because Chava, the Nachash was telling Chava that God doesn't trust you. That's why he doesn't want you to eat from this tree, because he doesn't trust you. Now the truth is, this lack of... Now that was completely not true. That was Lashon Hara. Hashem absolutely trusted Adam and Chava. But the sin of the snake was the human being thinking that God doesn't trust them. Now this... illusion of a lack of trust, I guess you can say, this false assumption that Adam and Chava have that God doesn't trust them. We know that Hashem's relationship with the human being is like a chassan and kala, right? Hashem, like in Shir Hashim, it's full of that dynamic, that Hashem is like the chassan and Klal Yisrael like the kala. So in a certain sense, the sin of Adam and Chava, the sin of the snake, the sin of the Eitz HaDaas, was that the kala felt that the chassan doesn't trust her. That's what it was, right? That the Adam and Chava felt that their chassan, the Rabbanu Shalom, doesn't trust them. That sense of lack of trust actually then affected Admin Chava themselves. How do I know? We know that the pasuk says that, Chazal say this, that the Nachash pushed Chava and she touched the tree, right? Why? Because we know that Adam told Chava that what you're not supposed to eat from the tree, and you're also not supposed to touch the tree. And so the Nachash says, you see, the whole thing is baloney, because he gave her a shove, pushed Chava to touch the tree, and the Nachash says, see, no lightning bolts, you're fine. So just like that is baloney, so too, not eating from the tree is baloney. What was the problem? The problem was that Adam did not explain to Chava that really the main issue is eating the tree. I'm telling you not to touch it as just a safeguard. But the reason why, let's think about this for a second. The Chasam Sofer says, why is it that Adam didn't explain this to Chava? So again, we have no hasag of these people, but just a narrow level, says the Chasam Sofer, the reason why Adam did not explain to Chava what the actual Avera was is because Adam didn't trust her to 100%. Like, Adam had this thing in his head, kivyachal, on his level, that Chava could not be told what the actual Isser is, because maybe she'll fall into it. And so Adam had to make this fence around the Avera and say, no, not only can you not eat it, you can't even touch it. But this whole idea of Adam telling Chava and expanding the Isser, and telling her it's not just touching, not just eating, it's also touching, was coming from a lack of confidence that Adam had in Chava, thinking that if I just tell her what the actual answer is, it's very likely she'll fall into it. So therefore I have to pull her back from even getting anywhere near the tree. This lack of trust that was shown from Adam to Chava is just a reflection of the sense of lack of trust that Adam and Chava had towards their chas and their Rabbanu Shlom. And so at the end of the day, the nekuda pnimis, the inner core of the issue that was going on with the chayt of the Yetz Hadas, both in terms of what the Nachash was telling Adam and Chava, and both in terms of what Adam told Chava about the tree, it was all revolving around the Kala feeling as if the Chassan doesn't trust her 100%. Our Avodah on Rosh Hashanah is to fix that. That's the Avodah of Rosh Hashanah. The Avodah of Rosh Hashanah is for a Jew to be able to say that the Rabbanu Shalom trusts me to be a person of free will. The Rabbanu Shalom trusts me to be a person that's going to live in the world of Tash and Pei Beis. And Hashem trusts me to make the right decisions, to make the right choices in life. You see, when we talk about establishing Hashem as king, right? The whole inner Rosh Hashanah is to make Hashem Melech. Hashem is the Melech. It's well known from the Vilna Gaon and other Svarim, but the definition of a king, of the term melech, is a person in authority that's given that authority by the will of the people. Like, a dictator is not called a melech. A tyrant is not called a melech. A melech is someone who's accepted by the people. Now that, but if you think about it, that takes an unbelievable amount of trust on the leader's part to trust in the people to elect him as the leader. You understand? Like, it's very easy, like a tyrant or a dictator, these are people that do not have any trust in the people that they're in control of. Quite the opposite. Every single second of every single day, they're thinking it's that when they imagine what the citizens are thinking about, the dictator is paranoid, and the dictator says they're just planning coups. It's just constantly, they're just trying to figure out ways how to overthrow me. And therefore, a good defense is a good offense. So instead of reacting to a possible rebellion which is just around the corner, I'm going to put my boot on their throat, and I'm going to control them in every single way. But it's all because of a lack of trust that he has with the people, because he cannot allow them to have free will, cannot allow them to make their own decisions, because he's sure that if they have their own decisions, their decisions will be, we're not interested in this guy. But the definition of the Jewish people's role on Rosh Hashanah is to establish Hashem as a melech with our own free will means, and it requires our belief that Hashem trusts us to make that decision. Like, Hashem did an unbelievable thing, which is making us people of free will. Because that's like, that means Hashem said, like, here are the keys, you drive the car. That's unbelievable. That means Hashem trusts us. That's the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. You can't stand up and say, the Ribbono Shel Olam, you're my king, you're my leader, I want to be. It has to be predicated on an understanding that the Ribbono Shel Olam trusts you to make that decision and is giving you the ability to make that decision. And he's giving you the free range to do so. And that itself is fixing the sin of Adam and Chava, you understand? Because the sin of Adam and Chava was revolving around the lack of trust, or what they felt was a lack of trust between Hashem and them. And that's why, by the way, as a result of the sin, so when Hashem curses Chava, so he curses Adam and Chava and the Nachash and the earth, Hashem curses Chava with a number of things. One of the things that Hashem says to Chava is, Hu yimshol bach, that your husband will rule over you. But the term that Hashem uses is not Hu yimloich alayich, that he will be a melech over you. Yimshol bach, a moishel. What's a moishel? A moishel is a dictator. A moishel is someone who does not allow the person to make a choice. The curse of Chava was that curse is a reflection of the essential problem. The essential problem was that you don't believe, says Hashem, you don't believe that I trust you, and you think that because I don't trust you, therefore you think of me as a Moishel. I'm not a Moishel. I'm a Melech. I want your decision. I want your vote of confidence. I want you to be able to say that I am going to choose to be a Jew. And it says Hashem, and I'm giving you the free range to make that choice because I trust you'll make the right decision. You know, it's like there's someone I know that when they're already older now, but when they were a teenager, so she was going through stages, you know, maybe you know, not dressing so tznius and things like this, and she went to her father. Father was an old school European, but a deep person, and she went to him. And said, like, not really asking, but sort of like tell whatever, half asking, half telling, of like, I'm gonna wear this skirt tonight or something to go out with my friends. And it was clearly not so modest. And so she was waiting. This is what she tells me. She was waiting for her father to say no. You know, I'll do that, whatever. And her father looked at her and said, "Honey, I love you. I trust you'll make the right decision. I trust you'll make the right decision." So you know what happened. Obviously, she made the right decision. She made the right decision. But that level of trust and of confidence for a child to feel from a parent, or you know, a citizen to feel from a melech, or a wife to feel from a husband, or a husband from a wife, that's huge, because that's an empowering moment. And when you're empowered by that, with that sense of trust, then of course you're going to make the right decision. It's only natural for a Jew to be drawn to Hashem once Hashem gives you the space to operate and to make that choice. It's well known. I mentioned this to some of the chevra, you know, a while back, that there's a very very quick maisa. One of the main students of the Baal Shem Tov was the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef of Polnoya. He wrote the first Chassidish Sefer in terms of like spreading Chassidus through Sfarim. Toldos Yaakov Yosef is the first one, and so there's a story they say about how he became a Chassid. Originally, before he became connected to Baal Shem, he was a Masnagid, and he was a very fiery, very very tough Rav, one of the Chassid Rabbanim in Europe, but known to be very tough. And so the Maase is, it's a whole part of a longer story, but to make it short, the Baal Shem Tov met him, and the Baal Shem Tov said to him, "Is it okay if I tell you a story?" So he said, "Fine." So he said, "I'll tell you my." So the Baal Shem Tov said, "I was once driving, you know, on a wagon with a horse and buggy, you know, and for some reason something hopped in the horse's head, and the horse wasn't moving. It wasn't making any noise. It was like frozen, and I'm hitting it, I'm beating it, I'm trying to get it to go." So Baal Shem Tov said, "While I'm trying to beat the horse and yelling at him and screaming, 'Move, move,' an old man appears to me on the side. And this old man passing by says to me, he says, 'You know, if you want your horses to go, you got to ease up on the reins. You're holding them too tight. If you hold the reins too tight, the horse is frozen. But if you ease up on it, you allow some space for the horse, it'll go.'" That changed Yaakov Yosef's life. He became a chassid. That's the secret. Of course, every single one of us, we're a horse. You know what I mean? That's all we are. A bunch of horses. And of course, we're going to go to Hashem. Once we feel that confidence, that Hashem says, "I trust you're going to make the right decision." Once that vote of confidence is said, of course. And this ultimately boils down to whether Chava is created while Adam is asleep, or if Chava is created when Adam is awake. You see, when Chava is created and Adam is asleep, which is what happened on the sixth day of creation, then that means when Adam wakes up, he sees Chava as something separate from him. Where did Chava come from? I don't know. It just appeared. Hashem created me out of nothing, created Chava out of nothing. And because of that, there's automatically this lack of trust, because we're not coming from the same place. We're not bound to each other in the deepest of senses. So I can't necessarily always trust that you're going to make the decision of being a part of me. And therefore, because Chava was created while Adam was asleep, it's only a matter of time until it surfaces that Adam doesn't fully trust Chava to make the same decision he would. And that's a reflection of the fact that we were created in such a way where it seems to us as if Hashem was asleep when we were created. Meaning that we don't see ourselves as a part of Him. We don't see Him as a part of us. So automatically there's this illusionary feeling of lack of trust. Because who do you really trust? You trust someone that you're brothers trust each other. You know, people that are coming from the same place. If you know through and through the person sitting next to you that literally you're coming from the same cell, you're coming from mamish the same place, then of course you're going to trust each other. But this person next to me, if he's coming from a different culture, a different world, a different universe, then who says I should trust him? Who says I can't trust him? Adam, Chava being created while Adam is asleep, what results in a lack of trust. What are we doing on Shaifa Rosh Hashanah and Seder Arizal? What are we doing? We're keeping Adam awake while Chava is built. The whole inning of Shaifa is what? Is we're proclaiming that we come from God and God is a part of us, which means that therefore He absolutely trusts us because He's able to let go of the reins a little bit and He knows we're going to end up going to the right place because that's where we're coming from. So it's all revolving on this nekuda, to know exactly who you are in terms of your relationship with God and how intimately bound you are with God. If you know in the deepest of places, the deepest of senses, that your creation, you are being created while Adam is awake, and Adam is therefore, and therefore you're aware, and Adam is aware that you come from his own rib, and there's no confusion about that. Where you come from is from God's ribs, kivyachal, so to speak. Then of course, automatically, you're going to feel a sense of trust. You're going to feel a sense of confidence in yourself. And Hashem is therefore going to say, okay, make the choice. I trust you to make the right choice. And that's what Rosh Hashanah is. Rosh Hashanah is about being able to say with confidence that even if I don't have any support system around me, even if I don't have a shotgun behind my back compelling me to walk down the aisle, I'm going to make the right decision. That's what Rosh Hashanah is. This is why Rosh Hashanah is described as a holiday of darkness. The Kesel Yom Chagenu, right? Tiku b'chay the Shofar, blow the Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. The Kesel Yom Chagenu, a yontif that's hidden, right? The moon is hidden on Rosh Hashanah, right? Rosh Hashanah is the first day, the moon doesn't exist. It's a yontif of darkness. Why is Rosh Hashanah called a yontif of darkness? Because that's what Rosh Hashanah is. The greatest ability, we have the ability to make a choice and to say that we are going to decide to make Hashem a king in our lives and to appoint Him as the beacon of light in our lives, because we're in a situation of darkness. We're not, a lack of choice can come when there's a shotgun on your back, or it's overwhelmingly obvious that Hashem is great. So either if you're a malach, that's also no choice. The whole idea of choice comes because you're in a situation of darkness and there's concealment and we don't know. That's what happened to Rosh Hashanah. What does God do on Rosh Hashanah? He conceals Himself in Rosh Hashanah. Because if you think about it, what happens in Rosh Hashanah is that Hashem created Adam and Chava, which are the first creatures to actually have their own ideas. Until that point, Hashem created foxes and elephants and lions and tigers and plants and trees and oceans. Nothing that has their own ideas. There's nothing in the world until day six of creation that could say anything different than what God wants. But on Rosh Hashanah, that's when Hashem finally created a creature that has its own ideas. And that's the dark. That was the darkest time of creation. But Dafke, in that darkness, the Rebbeinu Shem says, "I trust you in that place to make the right decisions." You know why? Because even though it might seem like you're just a creature among creatures, but the truth is, you're coming from my own ribs, and you should know that. And if you know that, then you'll make the right decision. Then you'll believe in me, believing in you, and it'll be okay. That's the essence of Rosh Hashanah. So halacha l'maisa, the avodah of Rosh Hashanah is to say, "I choose to be a Jew. I choose to be a Jew. I know the alternative. I know what it's like. I don't feel the reins being pulled tight on me. I have loose reins. I have I could do whatever I want, but I choose to be a Jew. That's Rosh Hashanah. And the reason why I choose to be a Jew is because I know that God has given me the ability to make that choice because He trusts I'll make the right decision. And that's what Rosh Hashanah is. We have to hear it. We have to hear that sound in the back of our heads of like that father telling that girl, "You make your own decision. I trust you'll make the right one." That's what Rosh Hashanah is. Hashem should help us. To have that confidence, to know within ourselves that Hashem trusts us, to trust ourselves from that level of closeness. That's Hashem. We should be blessed through our right choices and because of right choices, to be blessed with a good year, k'sivis sima toiva, good gibben shiar, begashis, ruchnis, begashmias. With Yishua Das, it should be a year of menucha, a year of geula. You know, it's like, I was asking someone, like, what's Tavshin Pei Beis? Like, what's the Rosh Hashanah? You guys heard of any Rosh Hashanah coming out yet? I mean, Tavshin Pei Aleph is a bunch of them. I don't know. Tavshin Pei Beis. Teishnas. Pidus Berura. It should be an obvious year of Gula. It should be Zaycha to that.